Well, church family, we're going to continue worshiping by reading God's word together. And so if you have a copy of the scriptures, and I hope that you do, would you join me in the letter of 1 John? The letter of 1 John in the latter half of the New Testament. This is our fifth and final week together in this sermon series in 1 John. And so we will be wrapping this up today. And as you're turning there, let me just illustrate the obvious, that when we are passionate about something, or we are intrigued, or we are interested in something, we naturally want to share that with others. This past week, I've already mentioned, I had the privilege of joining the Chicago Collegiate Ministry team that was in Garfield Park. And one of the things that we did was we got to have conversations and to get to know one another better. And one of the students said, "Hey, Pastor Aaron, I want to ask you an important question." I figured it might be something spiritual, something of a pastoral nature. And they said, "You know, several weeks ago, you posted that Justin Bieber was in town for a concert," which I did. And they said, "We got to know, are you or are you not a believer? We need to know if you are a fan of Justin Bieber." And I got to be honest with you, I like his music, I like the beats, I like the creativity. Please don't judge me, I don't know what all the lyrics say, I'm doing my best to get caught up to speed. But I said, "I really like it," and they said, "What else do you like about it?" And I said, "Well, one of the things I noticed at his different concerts is that he prays together and posts his prayers with the team before they go on stage, and even when he was in Nashville for about 4.5 minutes, he used his platform time in front of 15,000 people to tell them that there is a God, they were made by God, and that what they could have is a relationship with God where they could flourish." And that's me summarizing his words. I said, "Listen, right, wrong, or indifferent, like his music, hate his music, believer, non-believer, whatever, the guy's leveraging some of his 15 minutes of fame to point people towards God. And I'm a fan of that." Now listen, I don't know if you like Justin or not, and it's okay if you don't. Maybe it's Hank Williams Sr., maybe it's Adele, maybe it's somebody else. Maybe you have a favorite restaurant. Maybe you have a favorite place you go to walk and jog. Maybe you're going to Radnor Lake this afternoon for Memorial Weekend. I don't know what it is. But have you ever noticed in your own life, when you are passionate, when you are excited about something, you can't help but naturally tell other people about it, right? Unfortunately, in the life of the church, sometimes we don't do the same thing with our faith in Jesus Christ. We don't naturally share the good news with others. And John, a follower of Jesus, says, "Listen," he doesn't come at us from a punishing standpoint or heavy-handed. He simply says, "Listen, the reason I do what I do, the reason I write these letters, the reason I serve is so that you might know Jesus and so that you might experience the joy and the fellowship that comes from knowing him. If you know Jesus, you got to find a way to share that with others." That's exactly what John is saying in this text. Would you stand with me in honor of God's word? And from 1 John in chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together. It says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard and what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that life was revealed and we have seen it, and we testify," or we witness and declare to you, "the eternal life that was with the Father and has been revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is first with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write these things so that our joy may be complete." It's just a handful of verses. Let me pick out a couple of lines and a couple of words from this word. What we have heard and what we have seen and what we have even touched with our own hands, we proclaim, we testify, we declare to you so that you might experience in Christ what we enjoy, and that together our joy might be complete, and that together we would be so fully satisfied in Christ. Let's pause right there and pray for just a moment together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. You have shown us several things in this letter from our brother John the last several weeks. You have revealed to us how much we are loved, that your character and your essence is love, and that if God's love abides in us, then we should then share that love with others. And here, as we wrap up this series, we see it once again. So convict us in the next several moments if we're more passionate about proclaiming our favorite music or our favorite foods or our favorite experiences. While there's nothing wrong with those, forgive us if those capture our affections and we naturally witness about those more than we do about Christ. And here's my other part of this prayer. Open our hearts and our minds to feast on the beauty and the unbelievable truth of God being revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And God, let us be fully satisfied and fully content in Him, so that the joy that we have in Him and with one another is a compelling witness to our world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're called to be witnesses of the good news of Jesus to others. I mentioned that earlier. Jesus said it himself in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. Go and do that verbally. The Bible says in Romans 10 that faith comes from hearing. It's not just in how we demonstrate, go and serve, go and meet needs. We do this oftentimes so that people will know there's something in us that compels us to love and serve others in this way. And we also verbally, when the doors are open for that opportunity, we share the gospel with our testimony of our lives and our mouths. We are to be witnesses. I find that one of the most important things about being a witness is that you have to have a working knowledge of the subject matter if you're going to be confident about being a witness for that thing. Now, let me say that once more. You have to have a working, intimate knowledge of the subject matter or the person that you want to share or celebrate or tell others about. Did you notice what John said in verse 1? If you have your Bible open with you, and I love when I see you journaling in your notes or writing on the pages and the margins of your Bible. Look, there's some similar tendencies in how John writes, just like in his gospel. Do you remember his gospel started off with, in the beginning was the Word. Here he is again. This is natural to his writing. What was from the beginning? Jesus has always existed. He wasn't created. He wasn't thought up when people sinned and God needed to create a plan to save humanity. He has always existed from the beginning. And when he came here, we heard him. Look in verse 1. We heard him. We've seen him with our own eyes, and we have even touched him with our own hands. What John is doing is he is testifying that the incarnation of Christ happened. When he said, we touched Jesus, it literally means God became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John 1:14. In his gospel account, he says, God became flesh. He took on flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That's what makes Jesus so much like us, that he can identify with everything we experience, but he never gave up his divinity. Now, there are several things we can agree to disagree on that aren't first tier issues. But this is one of those doctrinal underpinnings that we have to agree on to call ourselves Christians or followers of Jesus, that God incarnated himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So everything that can be known about God has been revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And John says, I saw him, I heard him, I touched him. That makes me so jealous of his experience. Like, they literally saw Jesus while he was alive during his public ministry. Now, John also saw him. John also saw him after his resurrection. I'll be honest with you. My appreciation and respect for John has just ratcheted up as we've been in this letter. I mean, here's John, who was one of the last people that was around and courageous enough to be seen with Jesus when he's being nailed to a cross, to want to be identified, and he had the character, and he had the type of activity in his life where God was working in and through him that Jesus felt he could entrust care of his mother for him. Do you remember that? When Jesus was on the cross, he said, woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Take care of my mother. My respect for John as one of the disciples, as the followers of Jesus, has just grown immensely. And I'm jealous that he saw Jesus and he touched Jesus. And we live on this side of the cross. We live on this side of Jesus being resurrected and ascending into heaven, so we have not physically touched Jesus. But one of the things I'm really looking forward to when we pray, amen, come Lord Jesus. Jesus has come once, he's returning again, and when he does, he will unleash his never-ending kingdom, and he will remake and restore all things so that it looks as it did in the Garden of Eden, so that we experience flourishing as he originally intended before sin invaded our world. Listen, Adam and Eve screwed up, but that didn't thwart what God was accomplishing, and it didn't break or affect his ability to do that. God has always wanted a people he can be in relationship with, and they can flourish in relationship with him and in relationship with one another. And I can't wait for the Lord to return. I have a dear friend who in his mid-40s went home to be with the Lord Jesus this past week. And my friend has already seen Jesus and he's touched Jesus. And right now we live by faith. And Hebrews says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that is how we stay in close fellowship with God, by believing in his promises that all come true through the person of Jesus Christ. But whether we pass away and go to be with Jesus or we're alive when he returns, we will touch him and we will know him and our faith will be made sight. We will all experience what John has said here. And he said, listen, I was close enough that I saw it. I experienced it for myself, and I want to tell you about it. In order for you to be a witness, in order for you to testify to a watching world that there is a God, and his name is Jesus, and he can bring them eternal life and hope and joy, you have to be experiencing that yourself. You have to have a close enough relationship with Jesus where you are at some level really familiar with the person you want to share with others. This past week in Chicago, I can't tell you enough how proud I am of our college students, the growing college ministry here at the church, and many of them are scattered to their homes now throughout the summer. But the team that I was with, in the morning, they served the homeless friends in the community at Reborn Community Church. Here in Tennessee, heroin and methamphetamine and other things are rampant. There, it's primarily heroin up and down the street where the church is. And so the pastor, who is a friend of mine, we've known them and been in partnership with them for many years. He said, Aaron, at this breakfast, we need the students to serve, to sweep, to mop, to cook eggs, and to sit down with our friends from the community who will come in and they just want a meal. And it's okay if your team just very bluntly and kindly shares the gospel straight up with them. And so I'm thinking, like, it's wonderful when we can build a relationship, right? If you try to share the gospel with somebody, it's like, I don't even know you, and you're asking me very intimate, eternally significant things. It would be ideal if we can build relationships with people. But he said, Aaron, some of these men and women in this room may not be with us next year. And if God put us in this community so that we can share Jesus, then that's what we're going to do. So our students did that. I'm so proud of them. And then switching gears, a completely different type of ministry. After lunch in the afternoon, they hosted a backyard kids club, if you will, inside the old fire station that has been converted into this church. And you had kids shooting hoops. You had kids running around, crafts, throwing the crafts everywhere, and then teaching a Bible story. And they just served, and they did wonderful things. Keep praying for our college students. I told them, I never went on a mission journey. When we were eating dinner one night, I said, I never went on a mission journey in college, and I wish I had. I'm so proud of you. And when you have your own families one day, advocate for growing, flourishing college ministries in your church and be involved in those. So we did a lot of hard work and they did wonderful things, but we often had to share meals. And you work from about 8 in the morning till about 5 in the evening and you sit down for a meal and it's just good to relax. And our hotel was right near a very well-known Chicago pizza parlor restaurant, if you will. Now, I don't know if you like Chicago-style pizza, but I absolutely love deep-dish pizza. If you're counting carbs, and tune me out for the next couple of seconds, okay? But I love deep-dish pizza, and so we ordered it, and you have to sit there for like an hour or more while it cooks. When they deliver this goodness, we ordered a few varieties. They had something called the Meat Legend. We ordered the Meat Legend. I don't know, but if it's meat, it was on there. We ordered one that was the classic pepperoni, and it was there. We ordered one that was like a veggie and a combo, and it had it. And so it was like, where do we even start, right? And so I just sliced it, and somebody served it, and we put it there on the plate. And I just kind of marveled at it because we don't have a lot of good deep dish places around here, but I really marveled and enjoyed it. And I know that's a little weird, but I was really looking forward to this. I sank my teeth into it and the tomato sauce. It wasn't too spicy. It wasn't too tangy, but it wasn't bland. It was just... this is good. After a long, hard week, this is good. And then as I ate, like, how many of you like New York-style pizza? You like New York-style pizza? You fold it over. You fold it over and eat it like a sandwich. In the first service, somebody clapped. They clapped for New York pizza. You got the gospel and we got New York style pizza. Well, listen, if you do, you're totally missing out, and I'm sorry to be judgmental. Like, this piece of pizza is so big and so nourishing, as you sunk your teeth into it, you're like, I'm getting full as I'm biting. This is, you push back from the table and you're like, I have thoroughly been around, investigated, tasted, experienced, touched. This is good stuff. And when I got back, I shared all the gospel good news. When people were like, what'd you do? And the kids were like, where were you? Like, you know, share all that. But I've shared with a couple people, like, dude, if you are in Chicago, you've got to stop by there. Now, how many of you are foodies? How many of you are foodies? Do you tell people about your favorite restaurants that you've run into? Same thing, right? You probably think I'm weird talking about pizza up here. You have a favorite food? How many of you have a favorite artist? I mentioned one earlier, and you're like, listen, you've got to go. I follow this artist. I follow this band. If I'm like around, like I love, like, can I just ask you something? Do you share Jesus with others with the same passion that you do your favorite restaurant, your favorite meal, your favorite artist? For many of us, look, full disclosure, I never preach a text that I don't filter through my own life. There are times where I'm like, no, I get all geeked out about something. I'm like, I want to love and feel the same way about Jesus that I do about that. So it's okay if you don't. But I was just illustrating the obvious. Like, you have to be some sort of expert in the subject matter to be confident and to be excited and to be courageous enough to say, I don't care if you don't like Justin Bieber. I don't care if you don't like deep dish pizza. I'm all in. You have to be familiar with the subject matter to have confidence in the face of opposition, to have compassion and excitement to say, I'll slow burn this joy, but it's coming. Because I'm fired up about this thing. I don't know that we spend that much time feasting on, enjoying, relishing, touching, being with the Word, the person of Jesus, to then be compelled to go and do that consistently. So one of the things John says is, if you've been affected by the gospel, if you have eternal life, if God has brought you hope in the midst of hard situations, it's a broken world, but you know Jesus is working in your life, like, you got to share that with others. And we talk consistently as a church about, like, practical ways to start a conversation, how to listen for open doors, how to knock on doors, how to share the gospel with your neighbors. Can I pause right now and say, I'm not going to ask you right now to do anything tactical or strategic. I would submit to you what John's saying is the most effective way to start sharing, witnessing, testifying, declaring the goodness of God's gospel in Jesus is to be with Jesus in the first place. Open up the Word of God and spend time with Him. You know, John touched Jesus. When you open your Bible, that's why we encourage you to read outside of this room. When you open your Bible, you are engaging with the God-breathed, truthful Word of God, the person of Jesus Christ that can separate our thoughts from our attitudes and our behaviors and get in our head and our heart and rattle around and change us from the inside out. Do you put yourself in a position to feast on God in the same way you do other things? Now I would submit to you, like, the first thing you might want to pray is, Lord, let me be satisfied in you more than anything else. That's a prayer we should all pray every week. So start there this week. Once a day for the next 6 days, pray that. Let me be content in Christ. Let me be so satisfied and full and content in Christ. And then if you do need to take practical steps, like, don't just pray it and be like, show up next Sunday and be like, ain't nothing changed. I'm not super passionate about Jesus. Then maybe do take some practical steps, and only you'll know what those are. If you're not reading God's Word, crack it open. Get in a Bible reading group. Our Bible reading groups of three or four men or three or four women, they get together, read a chapter and say, if this is true, then what do we do with it? And is there something we need to repent of in our lives based on this? Is there a promise from God's Word we need to say, I'm so grateful for that, and I'm going to hold on to that this week? Feast on the Word of God. Put yourself in a Bible reading group. Put yourself in biblical community. But the first place that you become a compelling, confident witness for the gospel is to first and foremost be with Jesus Christ Himself. Now, I hope that liberates you, that, like, I didn't give you a whole list of what you need to do. Just be with Jesus. And God will always honor the prayer of you saying, Lord, help me want more of you. He will always honor that prayer. And that's what John's saying here. That which we've seen, that which we have touched, engage the person of Jesus so that you can become a compelling witness. Now, one of the things I want you to know that John says is that he says, I share this with you so that you will know fellowship with God through faith in Jesus. The most important thing that can happen is that you receive eternal life. And that's what he says here. Did you notice that in this passage? He says, the word of life in verse 1. Jesus was revealed to us, God in the flesh. He is the word of life. And then he also says in verse 2, he is eternal life. He's eternal life. It's a beautiful but a broken world. It is very hopeful and very encouraging to know that he's going to remake, redeem, restore, and that we will fully flourish and be fully alive in the new heaven and the new earth. That's good news. And John says, we testify, we proclaim, we share these things. And when he says we, he's talking about himself. He's talking about James. He's talking about John. He's talking about the gospel writers, the prophets in the Old Testament. We all write these things to push and point you towards God. And how do you get fellowship and eternal life with God? Through faith in Jesus. I pray that we will always be a church that wants to see people come to faith in Christ. There's great missions. There's great service. There's great hospitality happening this morning. There's great music happening this morning. It all works towards the purpose of introducing people to Jesus Christ. He says, that's the first thing I want for you. I want you to be saved. I want you to have salvation. But I want you to have fellowship with others. I want you to have fellowship with others. And a byproduct of Christian fellowship is joy. He says, I want you to have joy. The Greek word he uses here for fellowship is koinonia. It's koinonia, and it literally means sharing in the Holy Spirit, sharing of the Holy Spirit. It means that when we get together as followers of Jesus, there's something, there's a bond in us that is stirred up, that is encouraged, that is galvanized, that happens when believers come together in fellowship. This past week when I went to Chicago, one of the elderly saints that works in the kitchen in the mornings there, she said, I'm familiar with Nashville. I sent two kids to Tennessee State. She said, I know the TSU campus. I know it. So we talked about Richard Dent, one of the great football players that came out of there. We talked about other people there. We talked about what's happening in the nations and in North Nashville. And she was like, I'm super passionate about that. And as she shared about that, we talked about the gospel, talked about what God was doing. And I felt a closeness to Lynette. And I'd never known she existed in her 70-plus years of life before last week. But I felt as if we were close. I felt as if we shared something because we were sharing in and of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever wondered how if you go to Guatemala, if you go to Chicago, you get off the plane and you feel a kindred spirit with somebody? The Holy Spirit provides that. He galvanizes you and bonds you together. I had great joy was the byproduct of sharing in and of the Holy Spirit with her and the other team members there. When I got there, it didn't just happen with the people at the church. It happened among our team. I know some of our college students. I don't know all of our college students. And one of our college students who just started attending at the beginning of the year, when I got off the airplane, literally walked in the church, set my bag down. They had already started, you know. And he said, Pastor Aaron, I've been waiting to tell you. Like, I've been trying to figure out who you look like. I've been trying to figure out who you look like. And I'm like, well, who do you think I look like? And he said, have you ever seen the Iron Man movies? You know, Tony Stark? He said, you seen the first one? You look just like Jeff Bridges. You look just like Obadiah. And I'm like, you mean the guy who said, Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps? And they were like, that's it. You watch our movies. And I was like, yeah. And I, okay, now we know each other. That was the first conversation we had. And we laughed all week about that. And then we shared other things. Like by the end of the week, we were doing the pros and cons. The last night we sat around in the hotel about 10:30 at night. Truett, our minister in residence, said, hey, what's been a high and a low today or this week? And one of the students said, you know, throughout the week, the unity we shared, we got to know each other really well. I had never served with those specific college students. And she said, I even noticed during one situation where Truett, you and Aaron looked at each other and you intuitively knew what was needed for the activity. I could see y'all nonverbally communicating. We learned to do that. We got closer and closer, and it felt like we were unified in what we were doing. And she was smiling as she shared, and she said, that's one of my high points for the week. There was joy in the sharing in and of the Holy Spirit. And I was blessed. I told you, keep praying for our college students. I'm so proud of them. God's up to something here in this church and here in this community among our campuses. But there was great joy that we didn't have to manufacture. And I'm going to suggest to you, there's a lot of churches in North America that are known not for their joy. They're known for duty, obligation, and drudgery. I guess we have to go to church. I got to get on the plane and go to Chicago. I got to do this. Like pastor asked this, staff asked this. John says, I write these things so that you would have joy. Now I'm going to suggest to you that if you're a follower of Jesus, put yourself in a position where the Holy Spirit can provoke us to good deeds and stir up great things and unleash joy in our life. That's one of the fruits of the Spirit. This coming Saturday, June 4th, is Serving Saturday. It's the next Serving Saturday in the church. We huddle up together. I don't care if 5 people show up, 50 people show up, 500 people show up. We've got partners in food insecurity. We've got partners at the local elementary school. There are other things that we're going to do. And we're going to say, we have been so blessed by Jesus, we want to give our lives away serving, blessing, and being a blessing to other people in this community. It's a great place to get to know people and to share in and of the Spirit. And the byproduct is joy. So if you need to be with Jesus, and that's the first thing you need to do, be with Jesus. If you need to be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters, put yourself in a position to fellowship with other brothers and sisters. Serve with one another. Serve with your life group. Serve with your Bible reading group. Serve on Serving Saturday so that the Holy Spirit can manifest that joy. And I wonder, what if somebody asked, where do you go to church? And you said the church at Avenue South. I think it would be wonderful and a pleasing aroma to the nostrils of God coming up from earth if they said, we know that church loves God and they love people. Jesus himself said, I'll know you're my disciples if you obey my commands, but a watching world will know if you love each other. I'd love for that to be a characteristic. And it is happening. So don't hear me say, like, get it together, start loving each other. It's not what I'm saying. It's happening. I think that'd be awesome. But what if somebody in our community said, oh, you're talking about those people that are full of joy? They're full of joy. They may not describe it like that, but they love, like, they actually believe Jesus who he says he is. Like, it matters in their life. People get saved when churches manifest the Spirit in that way. They're like, I want what they got because I can't find that anywhere else. What if we were known for our joy? John says, I've written this whole book that you just went through in a sermon series for 5 weeks so that you can have joy. And our joy will be complete. In other words, he's saying, I'm missing out on something if your joy isn't complete and we can't share in it together. Like, don't rob yourself of that opportunity. He says, share the gospel, be witnesses, testify, and God in his faithfulness will produce joy and pull you together in unity more than you perhaps have ever known before. That's a fitting way for us to wrap up with John, to put a punctuation on a sermon series. He says, be with Jesus. You got to tell others, but it just simply starts and ends with being with Jesus, and he'll take care of the rest. The Spirit will produce it. Relax. I find that to be so encouraging. So here's what we're going to do as a response. We're going to pray, each of us as individuals. You don't have to pray. I won't force you and won't manipulate you. We don't do that here at this church. But I'm going to encourage you to pray that God would continue to give you a heart that wants more of Jesus. Okay? So let me invite the worship team to come back up to the platform. We're going to drop the lights down a little bit because I just find that helps eliminate distractions. I'm going to step out of the center of the platform. It's not about me. It's not about the band. Like, don't be distracted from what you need to do in the next few moments. But I'm going to encourage you to pray that God would give you a heart that wants more of him. And if you're not a follower of Jesus and you don't have joy and you don't have eternal life and things are broken in this world and you're looking for answers, you're looking for Jesus. So maybe the first thing you want to do is profess your belief for the first time ever in Jesus. Okay? So let me encourage you to bow your head and close your eyes in the next few moments. Pray that God will help you want more of Jesus. If there's an action or an activity that you need to do in response to some of the examples or some of the illustrations I shared, repent of being complacent or not getting yourself in community with other Christians. Realize, don't feel guilt or shame about this, but just realize you're missing out on the unity among brothers and sisters and potential joy in your life if you're not connected to the church. If not this church, a local church. Find you a church that believes Jesus is the Christ and preaches that and demonstrates that and be involved in the church. So maybe you need to take an action step and you'll know what that is. I'm going to give you about 90 seconds to pray. It's just you and Jesus. You pray for what it is you need. If you don't have it, don't let it be because you didn't ask Jesus for it. In just a moment, Nicole will ask us to stand and sing our song of response together.